Happy to be joined now by Steve Krause, longtime sports journalist and news journalist at The Item in Lynn. And Steve, welcome back. How are you?
Pretty good, Rick. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Good time of year. High school sports season has come to an end. The high school year has come to an end, which means that the Aganis games begin. And I want to talk to you, Steve, a little bit about your involvement with the Aganis organization over the years. And then, of course, you know, what's upcoming. But maybe a little bit of a quick thumbnail, Steve, on how you got involved with the Aganis organization and maybe, you know, a brief history for those kids who might not be aware of who Harry Aganis was.
Harry Aganis was an athlete that he played several sports in Lynn, most notably football and baseball, in the second half of the 1940s. And he played for Lynn Classical, and he's generally acknowledged by people who have been around a while, and that would be me, I got to say that now, as being the best athlete in the history of Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ever see him play because I wasn't born until after we graduated from Classical. He went on to play quarterback for Boston University, became an All-America there, and then he was drafted by the Cleveland Browns, actually, back when they were still in the All-America Conference, and he did not choose to play for the Browns. He instead chose to play for the Boston Red Sox. And he was 26, and he was hitting .315.
Wow.
And I was the starting first baseman for the Sox when he got stricken ill with some kind of a bronchial virus. And he could never kick that virus. He was out of the lineup twice in the hospital, Santa Maria Hospital in Cambridge. And he just couldn't get better, and then one night, or I don't know whether it was night or morning, but a pulmonary embolism traveled up and killed him.
Mm.
He died at the age of 26. And the people who were around at the time say that his funeral was the biggest in the history of Lynn. It went all the way down Lynn Common and up Franklin Street to the Pine Grove Cemetery. And then, after he died, the foundation was formed by Charlie DeMarcus, a lawyer, and the Red Sox in The Item. And that foundation has been going strong since 1955. That was when the first Aganis football game was played. In the years since 1955, the foundation, I don't have the figures right in front of me, but the foundation has awarded over $2 million in scholarships to over 1,000 athletes. And they're all scholar athletes who are going to college. And that includes 15 this year.
I will get the figures, the exact figures, when I talk with Paul Halloran later, Steve. So you don't have to worry about that. But that's an astounding figure. And it also, you know, obviously it speaks to the legacy of Harry Aganis, but also to those who were touched by him and who care about things, who care about education, who care about athletes. And a very quick anecdote. My dad used to tell me, before we moved away from Massachusetts back in the early 50s, he used to tell me of Harry Aganis, watching Harry Aganis play Gloucester at the old Manning Bowl. And, my dad was from Gloucester. So, I mean, the effects of Harry Aganis then and now are amazing. When the kids are selected, Steve, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but when they're selected, do they have some kind of a printout or some kind of an inclination? I'm sure the coaches speak to them a little bit about the legacy of Harry Aganis, don't they?
Yeah. From what I understand, one of the customs is that, I don't know if it's for every sport, but it's definitely for football. And the reason it is for football is because they actually practice prior to the game. They don't practice any of the other sports. But the football players are all given a little bit of a brief rundown as to who Harry was and why this is important. I wish to do it for everybody, but there's probably not much time. But anybody who goes to the pregame ceremony at Manning Field, which will be held this Sunday at 9 o'clock, they get a pretty good idea as to who he is, just in the awards that are given out in the speeches and everything. He is, one of the things about Harry McGinnis was that he wasn't just an athlete. He was also, he was a citizen. He was a good guy, you know. He was a good, clean, if you know what I mean by clean, person, and a good role model for kids, you know. And the legacy of his Harry McGinnis as a person is just as important as and just as celebrated as Harry McGinnis as an athlete.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that gets hammered home each year when we do this. And, you know, as you say, when you're at the field and the opening ceremonies, you listen to all this stuff. It's just amazing how this kind of lives on. Steve, a quick question before we maybe talk about some of the events that are upcoming. And I'll have the complete schedule. You don't have to go, you know, item by item. Oh, I made a pun there. But anyway, how is the Agganis Foundation funded? How do you keep the funding going? Fundraisers or what?
The game, for the longest time, the football game was the principal fundraiser for the foundation. They also do some other things, but it's funded mainly through the athletic events. Right now there are 9 of them,
mm-hmm.
and there's a program book, and there aren't any ads proper in the book. There are a couple, but it's not like a book completely filled with ads. But they have different sponsorships based on how much money you give. And, you know, if you look in that book, at the beginning of the book, you'll see all the patrons and the benefactors and guarantors and things like that. And that's pretty much the main way.
Mm-hmm.
That the foundation is funded. The Red Sox have helps fund it. Plus, the Red Sox give out four scholarships to Boston area students on behalf of the Yawkey Foundation. And the local business community over the years has been very charitable toward the foundation, as has the local Greek community.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Agganis, Harry Agganis was Greek, and, you know, I like to tell people, because people don't have an idea just how big and how important he was to his community. When you think Italian athletes in history, who would you probably think of first? Joe DiMaggio, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
As being a, well, he would be to Greeks what Joe DiMaggio was to Italians.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, he was that important to the Greek community, and the pride that they took on the fact that he made it to the major leagues, and that, you know, he was who he was and everything. So they very, very actively support the foundation. And of course, right now, Andy DeMarcus is the president of the foundation. So it's been a big part of how the foundation's been able to grow.
Tremendous. The website cites that $2,334,000 in scholarships have been awarded to 1,040 Agganis scholars, and there have been over 200 Agganis All-Star Games, and it continues. That's tremendous. So from your viewpoint, Steve, and Lynn, we're working on sports once again. What are the highlights this year? Because there were so many great teams throughout the year. St. Mary's just kind of jumps to the top of the list in the area in terms of accomplishments. But you know, what comes to mind for you in terms of what's coming up this week?
I love the idea that seniors graduating seniors have one last chance, you know, to get on that athletic stage locally, and say goodbye to what they've been doing for the last 4 years. That is what the principal, one of the real principal things about this, the Aegeanus Games, is they are strictly for seniors. And, you know, if you've been playing for 4 years, you get one more chance, which I think is kind of nice, you know. And the thing is, you know it. You know it's your last time. So there's an awful lot of emotion that goes into it, you know. And a lot of senior years athletically end abruptly and unhappily, right? Because there's only once a champion in every sport every year. And there's only, you know, sometimes your sports don't make the tournament. And so you don't get that chance. Well, now you do. And I think that's a nice thing.
Well, the weather looks good. Opening ceremonies, as you mentioned, on Sunday. We'll have the complete schedule up there. Steve, anything else you want to mention?
Just that I think that what you cannot run charity events, and this is essentially a charity event because it's for scholarships. You cannot run charity event without volunteers. And there are so many volunteers from the, you know, people who collect the money, people who donate the food, you know, the DeMarcus family, old neighborhood donates the hot dogs and sausages, you know, to the people who help run the games. You know, you mentioned Paul Halloran, you know, very, very instrumental in running these games. Ted Grant for years as president and chairman of the foundation. Even myself, my activity on behalf of the whole thing pretty much began and ended with putting the program book together. And even the coaches, nobody gets paid. Everybody's donating their time, which allows all the money that we collect to go straight to what the cause is for. And again, I think that it's kind of a big and unspoken facet to this that so many people volunteer. And so many people do it willingly. You know, there are not a lot of arms being twisted. People to work on behalf of this. You know, most of the people who do it gladly. And, I mean, I know that when I was asked these many years ago to do it, I didn't need to be coerced. It was just something that you did to kind of make you feel connected to the community.
Yeah, and I think that speaks again to the spirit of Harry Aegeanus that sort of gets infused in everyone because, from all accounts, he was a very generous man.
Well, I have a funny story about the whole Aegeanus thing. When I was in Little League Baseball, you know, we shared the field with a herd of dinosaur that played.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I played for Western American Little League. And we had this kid on the team named Harry Ramo. Now, if you know anything about the Aegeanus family, you know that his sister married a guy by the name of Ramo. Her name was Mary Ramo.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're 10 and 11 years old, you don't make that connection. So all of a sudden, one day, this kid's Harry Ramo was sitting, not standing, sitting on second base, and he's all of a sudden starts, Harry Aegeanus was my uncle. Harry Aegeanus was my uncle. And me being the wise guy that I was, you know, who the blank was Harry Aegeanus? And I never made the, you know, I didn't know. And so I went home that day and asked my father, I said, who is this guy Aegeanus? My father said, why would you ever ask that question? And I said, because this kid on my Little League team's running around saying, Harry Aegeanus was my uncle. Well, what's the kid's name? Harry Ramo. So my father realized that he was legit because he knew the whole thing. And he sat down and told me all about Harry Aginas and how great he was. My father was from Saugus, so he was a little older than Harry Aginas was, but he remembered him. So he told me the whole story and how Aginas would just absolutely fill the bowl, the overflowing crowds at the bowl. And now I was a kid. I'd go to Manning Bowl to watch the English classical game on Thanksgiving, and that was a huge place to me back then.
Yep, yep.
And it was like going to Fenway Park. And I could just imagine that place overflowing.
My dad said he used to figure 10,000. He said he was at the Manning Bowl when Aginas played, and he said there were 10,000 people. I don't know that the bowl could handle that many, but I believe it would probably feel like that.
Well, it would be standing room only every time he put the place on the map.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, too, that it wasn't that old at the time. It was
right.
Works Project Administration thing. And it was built during the Depression, and here we are in 1946, and the place might have been 10 years old by then, and this is probably the first test they had of how, you know, what they could do with it. And, of course, you go now on a Friday night to see a football game, and it may be a quarter filled, and, you know, you just kind of wish you'd been around back then to see it when it was like that, but... No, you know, and I don't know, and I hate to sound pessimistic, but I don't know if we'll ever see a time when that place is filled to the gills the way it used to be.
Well, there's going to be a lot of traffic there this week, and looking forward to that. And we will talk again with sports journalist, and now news journalist once again, Steve Krause with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.